Hey there. Ready for a deep dive?
Always.
Let's talk data science, shall we?
Sounds good to me.
We're looking at how, a quick service restaurant,
Okay.
your classic burger and fries kind of
Yeah,
place,
that's the picture.
used how they used a pretty cutting edge technique
Interesting.
to try and, figure out how their sales go up and down throughout the year.
Makes sense, yeah.
And I think most
Oh.
people listening will appreciate how clever this is.
I think so.
Even if they don't know a ton about math or statistics.
It's pretty fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I was really impressed by this
Yeah.
case
Yeah,
study.
this case study from Arima Labs, it really shows how a business took a real problem, something they were struggling with, and used data to get some pretty cool results,
Totally.
you know?
And the case study PDF,
Oh yeah, it's great.
it goes into a ton of detail.
It does.
And we're going to try and unpack all that. Yeah, we've got a lot to
It's
cover.
for everyone today.
We do.
So, most of us, I think we've all seen how some businesses just like boom at certain times of the year,
That's true. Yeah.
especially if you think about holidays.
Holidays. Yeah.
You think about like
Packed restaurants, busy stores.
packed restaurants, right? And then there's those other times when things get a little quiet.
Slower times. Yeah.
Yeah, like
February.
February, exactly. Do
Right.
you ever notice how like
Yeah.
your favorite
Restaurant is maybe.
burger place
Yeah, a little quieter.
is like dead in February?
Yeah, definitely.
So
It's like a ghost town sometimes.
this QSR brand, they wanted to understand why that happens.
Yeah, it's a great question to ask.
And they didn't just want to like ride the wave. They wanted to
They wanted to predict it.
predict it,
Be
exactly.
ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really smart approach.
You really hit the nail on the head there. They wanted to maximize those peak times,
Absolutely.
but also figure out a way to make that February dip not so bad.
Exactly. Smooth things out a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the case study,
It's a great guide, really.
it really walks us through how they did that.
It does, step by step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had some specific goals too, right?
Yeah.
Like what were they trying to achieve?
Well, so they wanted to boost revenue,
Okay.
obviously, right, during the busy months,
During those peak,
during those peak times like the holiday.
yeah, the holidays.
Then they wanted to soften that February dip,
Okay.
see if they could even that out a bit.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
the other thing was figuring out the best time to launch any new menu items.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, makes sense. Launch a new burger when everyone's already in a spending mood.
Exactly. Yeah. So how do you even begin to tackle something like that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It feels like you're trying to predict the future.
It does a little bit,
Yeah.
but
Right.
that's where data analysis comes in.
Okay.
And the first step, they started with something called
Okay.
exploratory data analysis,
Okay.
or EDA for
Right.
short.
Edie.
EDA,
What
yeah.
is that? What is that exactly?
It's kind of like gathering clues at a crime scene.
Oh,
You know,
wow.
you're looking for evidence, you're
Yeah.
trying to figure out what happened.
Right.
So they looked at
Oh.
years and years of sales data,
Wow.
and they confirmed
Yeah.
that, yep, those spikes in November and December, those are real.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
that dip in February, that's real too.
So it wasn't just a feeling.
Nope. The numbers backed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they didn't stop there.
Oh, no, they didn't stop there. It gets way more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, knowing there's a pattern is one thing,
Right.
but figuring out why, that's got to be a whole other,
That's a real challenge, right?
yeah, a whole other level. So.
Yeah. So they use this technique
Okay.
called time series decomposition.
Time series decomposition.
It's a mouthful, I know.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
But it's a really cool technique.
Okay.
It basically lets you break down the sales data
Okay.
into different components.
So it's like taking it apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the cool thing is, you can separate out the long-term trends
Okay.
from those short-term fluctuations.
I see.
So imagine
Yeah.
isolating just the seasonal ups and downs from any other factors that might be influencing
So
sales.
you can really see
Yeah.
the shape
It's
of those peaks and valleys
yeah.
more clearly.
Yeah, much more clearly.
Okay, so
So that's what they did.
what kind of things did they look at to try and explain those shapes?
They looked at a lot of different things.
Okay.
So they factored in the obvious things,
Like what?
like holidays
Okay, yeah.
and any special promotions they were running.
Okay.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But they also looked at things like economic indicators.
Interesting.
You know, like, are people feeling good about spending money?
Right.
or are they tightening their belts?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, if the economy is doing well,
exactly,
people might be more likely to buy a burger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they even considered what their competitors were doing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So like
was there a rival burger joint running a crazy deal?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was stealing away customers?
Yeah.
It's all about connecting the dots.
Right.
Between those sales numbers,
yeah,
and the real world context.
And that's what I really love about this case study.
Yeah, me too.
It's that they
yeah,
that the QSR and Arima Labs, they really used this like trifecta approach.
Good trifecta approach here.
To solving this problem.
Yeah, that's a good term for it.
It wasn't just like pure data crunching, you know?
Yeah.
They brought in human expertise too.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a good reminder that even in the age of like fancy algorithms and AI, human insight is still incredibly valuable.
Totally.
Yeah.
So they had data scientists.
They did.
Who were experts in things like transfer entropy and
Granger causality.
Granger causality. Okay.
Yeah. These are some of the tools they used.
Okay. Hold up.
Yeah.
Transfer entropy, Granger causality. Mm. These sound a little intimidating.
Yeah, they could be a bit jargony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us the plain English versions?
I could try, yeah. So think of them as tools.
Okay.
That help you figure out how different factors influence each other.
Okay.
So, like, imagine...
Yeah.
You want to know
if
your ad campaign...
Yeah.
...is actually driving more people to buy burgers.
Okay.
Transfer entropy...
Yeah.
...looks for patterns of information flow.
Okay.
It's kind of like tracing how a rumor spreads.
I see.
To see if there's a connection.
Oh, okay, okay.
So if your ad campaign is generating buzz, and then you see burger sales go up, transfer entropy might be able to tell you if those two things are related.
Okay.
And then Granger causality, that's more about whether knowing the past can help you predict the future.
Okay.
So if your ad spending goes up. And then a week later, burger sales go up.
Right.
Granger causality helps you figure out if there's a real relationship there.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's like they're creating this web of connections.
That's a good way to put it.
Between like ad campaigns, holiday shopping sprees, maybe even how the economy is doing.
Yeah, all those things.
And seeing how all those threads kind of weave together to influence.
They all play a part.
Those sales peaks and valleys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They all contribute to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So
they're
understanding the why, but the real star of the show.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
The tool that allowed them to go from understanding the why to actually predicting what would happen next is a technique called radial basis functions.
Radial basis functions.
Or RBFs.
RBFs.
Yeah.
I've heard of these.
Have you?
Yeah.
Cool.
But they've always seemed kind of like mysterious to me.
Yeah, they could be a bit tricky to wrap your head around.
Can we break them down?
I can give it a shot.
So they make sense.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like a data scientist.
Sure. Yeah. So think of it this way.
Okay.
Imagine you're trying to draw a smooth curve that captures the shape of those sales peaks and dips.
I'm with you.
Okay, so RBFs are like the mathematical building blocks of that curve.
Gotcha.
They allow you to represent really complex relationships in a way that's super flexible and adaptable.
So instead of just saying December equals lots of burgers, they can create a model that captures all those little nuances.
Yeah, the subtle changes.
But how sales build up and then maybe...
Yeah, like how fast they go up.
A bit after the holidays.
Right. And how fast they go down afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how that curve might.
And how that might change.
Change a little bit.
A little bit each year.
From year to year based on.
Depending on other factors.
Other things going on.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
It's pretty neat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where RBFs really shine.
Okay.
Compared to a simpler method. The QSR was using before.
What were they using before?
They were using something called one-hot encoding.
One-hot encoding.
Imagine one-hot encoding is using a bunch of on-off switches to represent things.
Yeah.
Like holidays or promotions.
Oh, I see.
It's a good starting point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't capture that smooth, flowing nature of seasonal changes.
Yeah.
The way RBFs can.
So it's like It's like using a dimmer switch.
Exactly. Instead That's a great analogy.
Just flicking the lights on and off.
Perfect analogy.
You get so much more control over the brightness.
You get a lot more control with a dimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that control translates into much more accurate predictions.
Exactly. Much more accurate predictions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Much more accurate predictions.
And the proof is in the pudding, right?
Absolutely.
The case study mentioned...
Some pretty impressive improvements once they switched to RBFs.
Some big improvement.
What were some of those numbers?
Well...
So people can really get a sense of...
Yeah, they saw like an 80% reduction in model bias.
Wow, okay.
Which basically means their predictions were
way
closer to what actually happened.
Yeah, so their predictions were much closer to reality.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And their MAPE...
Okay.
Which stands for mean absolute percentage error.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Improved by a whopping 25%.
So their forecasts were...
Basically, their forecasts were that much more accurate.
That much more accurate.
Yeah.
Okay, and...
A big deal.
Especially when it came to that that tricky February dip.
Yeah, that February dip was always a tough one to predict.
Right, but now they had a better handle on it.
Exactly.
With these RBFs.
Yeah, they could finally see what was really going on.
That's got to be a game changer when you're... trying to plan marketing campaigns and make sure you have the right...
Yeah, you need to know.
Amount of food and staff and all that.
How much to order, how many people to schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just about having a like fancy mathematical model.
No, it wasn't just about the math.
Arima Labs actually gave the QSR.
They did.
Like specific, actionable recommendations.
They gave them real world advice.
Like what? Give us the good stuff.
Okay, so.
What kind of strategies?
For the December peaks.
Okay.
When everyone's feeling festive.
Yeah.
And ready to spend, they suggested cranking up the digital ad spending.
Okay.
You know, hitting those social media feeds hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Making sure they popped up in search results.
Right, so like...
Yeah, make it easy for people to find them.
If you're thinking about burgers...
Exactly.
You see an ad for this place.
Yeah, be top of mind.
Okay, yeah.
Targeted promotions were another big one.
Like, what does that mean?
Like holiday-themed specials, gift card campaigns.
So if you buy a gift card...
Yeah.
You get a free burger or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Make it enticing.
Makes sense to me. Take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Holiday excitement.
Yeah, people are already in a spending mood.
Make it easy for people to, you know, grab those last-minute gifts.
Yeah, or just treat themselves.
Or treat themselves.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
And it's the perfect time to launch a new product when you've already got a captive audience.
Right, because everyone's already there.
Exactly.
Okay.
But what about February?
Yeah.
That's a whole different ball game.
Right. How do
you need to get people excited about burgers?
Yeah.
When they're probably trying to recover from
everyone's broke.
From all that holiday spending.
Yeah, credit card bills are rolling in.
Right, exactly.
That seems tricky.
It is tricky.
Yeah.
So instead of those big expensive ad campaigns, Arima Labs suggested a shift in focus. They recommended focusing on brand engagement.
What does that mean? Brand engagement.
So it's more about
building
loyalty.
Okay.
And reminding people why they love those fries.
Oh, okay. So like instead of shouting from the rooftops.
Yeah, exactly.
Barely, it's more like.
You don't need to show to be heard.
Yeah.
Just stay top of mind.
Yeah, okay.
Without breaking the bank.
So it's like playing chess.
It's like a long game.
With their marketing budget.
Exactly.
Anticipating the next move based on these seasonal trends.
You're thinking ahead.
But before we get too carried away with RBFs, any good data science project needs to be checked and double checked.
You got to validate your results.
Yeah. How did they know?
Yeah.
These results weren't just a fluke.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
They put their model through the ringer.
Oh. Okay.
They ran all sorts of.
Like what?
Statistical tests.
Okay.
To make sure the patterns they were seeing.
Yeah.
Weren't just random noise.
Yeah, okay.
So, for example, they check for something called stationarity.
Stationary, okay.
Which essentially means that the patterns they were seeing were consistent over time.
Okay.
Imagine if you were trying to predict the weather.
Okay.
And you noticed that every Tuesday it rained.
Okay.
But then you realized that it only rained on Tuesdays for 1 month.
Okay.
And the rest of the year... It was totally random.
Right, right.
That wouldn't be very useful.
Right.
Not helpful at all.
No. So stationarity
means make
it means making sure those patterns are reliable over time.
Okay, okay.
And they also looked at the residuals.
The residuals.
Which is just a fancy word.
Okay.
For the difference between their model's predictions and what actually happened with sales.
So like how far off they were.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They made sure
there weren't any weird patterns in the residuals that the model had missed.
So they
really wanted to be confident.
Yeah.
That their model was capturing the true dynamics of the situation.
So they checked their work.
They did.
Double-checked it.
Yeah.
And made sure it wasn't all just a happy accident.
Not a fluke.
I love that level of rigor.
It's important to be thorough.
What does this all mean for our listeners?
That's the big question. Right?
What's the, like,
big... Aha.
Aha moment here.
Yeah, what's the takeaway?
Yeah.
To me, the aha moment is that RBFs help the QSR move from a world of gut feelings and guesswork to one of data-driven decision-making.
So they can plan their marketing.
They could plan their marketing.
Manage their inventory.
Manage their inventory.
Even think about new product launches.
Even new product launches.
In a whole new way.
In a whole new way.
It's like they took this complex mathematical concept.
It is a complex concept.
And turned it into.
But they made it work for them.
A real world superpower.
Exactly. They turned it into a superpower.
And the best part is,
yeah,
this isn't just limited to burgers and fries, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah, my mind is already racing with
so many possibilities.
All the possibilities. Yeah. RBFs could be used in retail, travel,
absolutely,
entertainment. Right. Basically, any industry.
You see those ups and downs.
That deals with.
Yeah, those predictable changes.
Those predictable, upswings and dips.
It's a powerful tool.
Throughout the year.
Yeah. Think about predicting tourist trends.
Oh, that's a good one.
For hotels.
Yeah.
Or managing staff at amusement parks.
Okay, yeah.
You know, knowing when to...
When to staff up.
Staff up, exactly.
When to staff down.
When to cut back.
Based on
the season.
How busy it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
You could even use RBFs.
You could
for forecast demand for like
for
like
seasonal clothes.
Seasonal clothes, yeah.
Like when are people
buying?
Gonna be buying sweaters,
winter coats, yeah,
swimsuits.
Okay, the potential applications are
huge.
Huge. Yeah. You've definitely convinced me that RBFs are more than just a
right
a fancy acronym.
They're the real deal.
For those of you who want to explore the
nitty-gritty
details.
Yeah, all the details.
Does the case study offer any additional resources?
It does, actually.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, the Arima Labs website is a gold mine of information.
Right.
And there's even a link to the full research paper.
Oh, cool.
Behind this case study.
Wow. So you can really...
Yeah, if you want to...
Get into the weeds.
Dive deep into the math. Yeah. It's all there.
It's awesome.
And if you're more of a visual learner, they also have a YouTube video.
Oh, cool.
That breaks down
the
concepts in a fun and engaging way.
We'll be sure to include.
Yeah, we'll put those in the show notes.
There's links in the show notes.
So you can check them out.
Yeah. So as we wrap up this deep dive,
what's the big takeaway?
Key takeaway.
You know,
one thing you should remember.
Leave our listeners with today.
I think the big takeaway is...
All right.
Don't let complex sounding math terms scare you.
Yeah.
You know, as we've seen with RBFs, even the most advanced tools can have practical applications that are easy to understand.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe the next time you're waiting in line for your pumpkin spice latte.
Your favorite fall drink.
You'll be able to
spot the subtle hand.
Maybe, just maybe.
Of RBFs at work.
You'll see the patterns.
Thanks for joining us on this.
My pleasure.
Deep dive.
It was fun.
Until next time, stay curious.